ability, we have the merit to earn eternity every second. Tafkidei lenatzel matanazu she'ein kemoi lemana matara nitzris. You have to utilize the nisoin, or any nisoin for that matter. But we're discussing the unique nisoin of this generation, the yisurim that are coming thick and fast in this generation. Dafka when a Jew is overwhelmed, surrounded by unbelievable nisoinus, bundles of nisoinus, in the midst of all of that, he tries to keep the mitzvahs a little bit. Yeah, he tries this, he tries that, he does what he can. He gets unbelievable, much more reward. As we know, it says that someone who does a mitzvah b'tzar, the schar is elef pamim, it's 100 times, 1,000 times, the Gemara says. Machshav azum esugeles lo'eded ma'od la'anik la'adam Mishnah merits l'man avedis Hashem Yisbarach. It can give a person enormous chizuk to know that what we're doing here is in Achinami, the rocks we're carrying are very heavy, but we need to know that buried in those rocks are the crown jewels. You know, that's Hashem gave us this heavy burden to carry, and it doesn't look very glittery. It doesn't look like it's shining too much. But you need to know, in those rocks, in those difficulties, in those problems, whether it's a problem child, a problem marriage, or health, whatever, those problems buried in there are the crown jewels. that's what we're dealing with. So that's a very important thing to remember, that we have unbelievable opportunities. You know, you read a story, for example. I mean, we know these stories, but we have to take something away from it. You read the story about the guy who made matzahs in Auschwitz, let's say. You heard about guys making matzahs? People making matzahs here since Hanukkah. People here in the Yerushalayim, in the factories, in Atarot, whatever, making matzahs. Nobody was like, wow, making matzahs? Shoo! We have to go see that. You know, guys are making matzahs in Yerushalayim today? No, you're making matzahs. Geschmack, it's very nice. We're making matzahs. You heard about a guy who took a little bit of flour and he went and he made a little matzah. You know, he didn't even have a kazais. Not even sure if it was chomets or not in Auschwitz. And people write books about that. Yeah, they make movies about that. Why? What's going on here? So we understand. What do you mean, why? It's obvious, no? Because in the middle of all of that, all he could think about was making matzahs. That's what we're talking. That's us. We're in that situation. That's us. That's not a story that happened then, it's happening now. The person's got so much tzoros and so many problems and so much this and so little of what he really would want and dream of and expect to have. And in the middle of that, he makes a Pesach and she makes a Shabbos and she's broken whatever, and she'll still light Shabbos candles. Those are big moments. Those are like making matzahs in Auschwitz. We don't see it that way because we have very crazy expectations of ourselves. But that's the vort here. The vort is in the difficulties, in the problems, in the people daven 3 times a day during Corona, alone at home. Wow, that's like making matzahs in Auschwitz. You'll tell me, nah, sure, don't exaggerate. Put nonsense, man. I'm not Kesha. No, really, it's hard enough. It's hard enough to daven with a minion and have a bit of concentration on Rosh Hashanah when they got a $10,000 chazan, you know. And it's hard enough there to daven properly. On your own, with no one watching, no one would know if you davened, you didn't daven, you know. There's no minyan, there's no nothing. Saying halal on Leila Seder on your own, I mean, come on. Who's going to do that? Yeah, it's our mod kasher. And people did it, and they did it with cheshek, and they did it. It's unbelievable. Okay. You have to find for yourselves these moments. They're many. Okay. Remember, we're trying to understand Yisurim. We're coming at from all different angles. Yisurim is a big diamond, and we have to understand it from all the different angles. Pamim rabot nipaz goydel shivoseinu lenatzeles achayim b'shleimus leman asiyas kol dover toiv. Very often, because of the very big yearnings, desires, aspirations that we have to utilize our lives b'shleimus, we want to be perfect. We want to do the best we can. Sometimes we forget about what life is itself. This is a very big yusod, this. I mean, it's very, you can't get this out of your system. We brought up that way. Whether you're brought up in the frum world, in the secular world, it doesn't matter, but this is a basic fundamental error that people have. And that is life without doing anything is not life. you're not doing anything, then your life's worthless. That's a big mistake. Lo pam velo pamayim anu shremim anashim sheyisurim vasevel shitko otam umonim mehem kol asiyah. You remember people that because of the yisurim, the tzoras, because of the burdens that they're carrying, they become immobilized. They can't function properly. They would rather die than be in a matzav like that. You don't know, you have stories like this. The ma'aseh zu is a yom v'noira. This is a very dangerous mistake. Critical error. You listening, Rabbi Ephraim? You listening? So this is a critical error. Now I'm picking on you because you have to deal with this on a day-to-day basis. I wasn't picking on you, Stump, because I like picking on you. I have plenty of people to pick on you that are closer. No, that's fine. It's just you have to deal with this all the time. This is your business. Good. So wrestle with it. Don't send him a copy of it. You wrestle with him. So lemaisa zu tois a yoim v'noira. This is a terribly critical error. This tozu mechala kol chaykel toiva. This wipes out all good. Nazbi es advarim behemshech ulam im niyek im atzmeinu. Noide shegam lelibeinu mitganvot leiti machshavoy soiroires elu shelam elichayim. We'll discuss what this means now, but we first have to just be honest with ourselves and know that we have situations in our lives where we also have these questions sometimes that steal our machshavos, like lam elichayim. What am I living for? Who needs this? You know, you know, just gonna have one day off. You know, just okay. So we have to deal with what is this error and see how we can correct it. Lamaisa, ha'emes hi, ki ein lanu shum kli lahasig ulemoided ma munach v'tomen berega chaim shel yudi. We don't have any barometer, any measuring tool to know or to measure what is lurking in the moment, one moment of life of a Jew. And we're talking about here, ha'kavon hi lerega chaim lelo asir klal. We're talking about somebody who's not doing anything. But sure, there's a value in a Jew's life. He's putting on tefillin, he's doing mitzvahs, he's learning, he's helping, he's doing... No, that's obvious. We're not talking about that. When there is due to a Jewish life, when result, nothing. Kol chayenu avu oilam shekulu chay oilam. What does that have to do with anything? Chay oilam nota besocheinu. The life of the world he planted in us. We have in our hands the seeds that will sprout our lives in the next world. Kol rega b'chayenu yesh bo potential. That's what it says here. Potential. It's obviously become a Hebrew word. Lechay netzach ein soifim. Every moment of our life here has lurking in it the potential for eternity. Every moment is not irrelevant. It's not something that's just mabakach that you can just waste. Because in every moment there's the potential for eternity. Yeah, the question, that's only when you're doing. If you don't utilize that potential, so then this moment of eternity just got lost. So what do you mean? You have to do. Where's the value in life if you're not doing anything? So let's... Then you're doing something. If you're at the desert island, on your own, alone, okay, with, we'll see. Okay, he's going to give an example. Yeah. If you're helping somebody else, then you're doing a bit. Then you're doing something, but no, not some, doing anything.
Somebody else makes something for you.
Somebody else helps you.
Yeah.
Okay, could be that you're there for that in order to enable him to do chesed for you. Yeah. Let's get a chair. It's not covered a Torah.
No.
It's not Tisha B'Av. You see, on Tisha B'Av, we have to do that. So there must be something about that that's not good the whole year. Not covered for the time. I'm picking on everybody today. I don't know why I'm being so nice.
You've missed us.
After a year of being on your own, I've lost my social skills. You know, it's one of the, you know, I came up with a new word the other day. Somebody said, how are you feeling? I said, I feel like I've been hermitized. It's like the verb of hermit, you know. I've become hermitized. So you'll forgive me until my social skills develop. Yeah. You can't push a button and no one sees you. No. You actually have to. I can't just mute myself. I'm sure there are people that wish I would, but okay. Fine. Let's go back to... Okay, so we have to understand where the value is in a Jewish life that's not doing anything. It could be that he's the recipient of good in a chinami. Yeah, there is a value in that, for sure. We spoke about that at length. The taking is an act of giving.
Yeah.
Is when a person has to take, is an act of giving. Let's see. Okay.
But perhaps also it's a potential. That means in one side it's good, in the other side you make nothing.
That's the kasha. That's exactly the kasha.
Yeah.
If the value of a Jewish life that's not doing anything is the potential, well, that's a double-edged sword. Because if you utilize the potential, it means you did something.
Okay.
So you're back to having to do something before your life has value.
Yeah.
Because a moment not used is the opposite. So that's the kasha. That's the problem. So let's see where I deal. Let's say I deal with that. Vitalitz many Yudi Zokin ben Meir Shana. Today someone is 100 is not old. So okay, we have to update our information here. He's talking about a 100-year-old person who's old. Today 100 years is not even old anymore. I remember as a kid, 70 was already wow. The guy made it to 80, they had like a picture in the newspaper, you know, it was like he turned 80, they had a special party for him. Today, 90-year-olds are driving around, you know, running businesses and gonna work or whatever. Anyway, so anyway, you have this old person, he's 100 years old, and he's a matzef of a tzemach, he's in a coma, he's a vegetable. Humachubala machshirin, einu meivin ve'einu yodei ma nase svivoi. He doesn't know what's going on around him, he's unconscious, to the best of our knowledge, yeah. Ve'yumav ve'toivim. That's real money even today, yeah? He happened to be a very wealthy person, and when he passes away, so his son's going to inherit $100 million. Yom ready if yom, day after day, you dimutl b'mitosa izman rav, atipulim oichlin v'goysim v'noiksim esa cheschoynes sheschosoch b'maychayav. Day runs into week, into month, into year, the $100 million is shrinking, all the expenses of keeping him alive. B'nai yechidah, Yehudi ben Torah amiti, his son's a proper ben Torah, yodeh ki yomev shel aviv mu'utim hay. However long he'll live, but it's not going to live forever. He's got limited time. B'korav tipol yod of Yerusha anikis. And then he's going to inherit this bigger Yerusha. B'liboy cholefes machshavos oides ma shiasi b'rusha zeh. And he's busy thinking, what's he going to do with the Yerusha, yeah? You ever do that? You ever play that game? I won the lottery, what would I do with the money? I do it once a year when I go to America fundraising. So I buy the, what's it called, the Super Bowl or the Super, whatever. You can win like $1 billion or $50 million or whatever. So you buy $1 for $1. What's the geschmack of doing that? Is until they have the draw and you don't win it, you can spend all that money. It's mamish geschmack. David and I drive around spending that money. It's mamish. It's the best dollar that I ever spend. It's the most entertaining dollar you'll ever spend in your life. You spend 3 or 4 days. The Motzei Shabbos, they have the draw. So you buy it like on a Wednesday. And then until Motzei Shabbos, you mamish, you allocate all that money. You're not, wow, it's mamish geschmack spending. Right. Anyway, so and then you didn't win, and then nobody won because nobody ever wins some cleaning lady in Michigan or whatever, you know, some cleaning lady there in Michigan, you know, whatever, wins the $1 billion, whatever, and 6 months later she commits suicide or whatever. You know, it's usually what happens when people win that kind of money. You know, you ever met people like that won big lotteries? Yeah. Once there was a big V in South Africa once. He made a lot of money. He sold his business for, I don't know, untold money. My Rebbe turned around and said, now I'm worried about him. As long as he was like scrounging around for bread and he didn't have money and he was struggling to make a living, I wasn't worried about him. He said, now that he's just made $100 million or whatever, he said, now I'm really worried about him. And he was right. It wasn't a happy ending. Anyway, so this son is now thinking, he's a proper Ben Torah. He's a Yehudi Ben Torah. He knows that he uses money properly. He's not thinking about vapes, you know. He's thinking about how to use his money in the schus of his father as well. You know what you can do for a father? A father leaves $100 million and you use that money properly. Lila Nishma is a father. Unbelievable opportunities here. He's going to build yeshivas and Torah and meisters and chesed all in the name of his father. And how he can make more kovet shemaim in the world than Nishmas his father. Eliyahu Novi comes to him and says like this, Rabbi Yehudi, avicha osed listalek min ha'olam b'yoyim ployni b'sha ploynis. Your father is going to die at a certain time on a certain day. That's when he's leaving this world. Achdalacha, ki bekoichil ha'arich is chai b'daka. You have the ability to increase his life by a minute. I was given special permission in Shemayim to come down here and tell you that even though he's destined to die at 1 minute past 12, we can push that off till 2 minutes past 12. Ach kol zois betnai shetiten li eskola Yerusha asida li pol b'chal kecho. I mean, that's the obvious one. Yeah, it's like another, as you know, you do the deal with the devil, you know. Yeah. So this is l'abdil elef la'dollars, this is a deal with Eliyahu Novi. The $100 million, with all the nishmas and all the mitzvahs and all the schar you're going to do, goes down the drain, and your father lives another minute as a vegetable. It's a no-brainer, yeah?
Obviously. He is.
Huh?
He is.
Yeah. Ain't sofik yudizeh lo yevata l'erusha. If you, anybody would tell you, you don't mevata l'erusha. 1 minute of life of a vegetable as opposed to $100 million worth of ilu nishmas. Well, what's the question? For sure you should take the money and run. What's he going to do in that minute of life? Nothing. What's he going to achieve? One second. That's not Das Torah. That's not the correct approach to this problem. I mean, nobody in their right mind. Go to a servant, market servant out there. Amongst proper B'nai Torah, very few people will tell you, for sure, what's the question? Of course you give up the Yerusha and you let me live another minute. Why is it even a question? Obvious, no? No, we're all Balabatim. If that's Das Balabatim, we're all kosher, Mahadran, Balabatim. The stamp. Haim gam Das HaTorah Svurukai? Avo v'nira ma mukhan HaKadosh Baruch Hu yovel letet ulevate avudakas chayim shel Yehudi. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Isn't that what we want to know? What does Hashem say about this deal? Sounds like a good deal to let him die when he was supposed to die. And I'll take that $100 million, none of it for me. I'm not talking about somebody who's got vested interests. There's only one kavon in mind, that $100 million is going to Ilishmas Abba. So what would Abba want here? $100 million worth of Ilishmas or another minute of a vegetable? What's worth more in Olam Abba? That's obvious, no? I mean, what's the question? You waste ink on a question like that? Let's see. We often learn sugyas, more often than not, we learn sugyas that don't really seem to have any relationship to our practical lives. Yeah, that's the biggest complaint the kids have. You know, I'm never going to own an ox, so what I have to spend the rest of my life learning about oxen? I'm never going to have an ox. But said, I'll take my chances. Every 6-year-old will take his chances. You know, if he ever buys an ox, he'll ask the rov what to do with it. You know, so you have to spend like 18 years in school learning about an ox, or you know, like, you know, if you've got to get divorced, you'll get divorced in Basting. You're not going to throw your get from a chotzer to her mepeset, you know, across the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. You know, that's not what you're going to do. You know, that's not how people get divorced. You're going to Basting. You know, it's not, you have to spend 9 months learning about gets flying through chotzers. It's hard to, yeah, okay. Tachlis ha-limud b'hem hila das is Rotzen Hashem. We learn Torah because we know what the Rotzen Hashem is. How do you find out who Hashem is and how do you get to know him better and how do you know what he wants and what he doesn't want and what he likes and not like? It's because we learn Torah, because that's what the Torah is. It's a gilu of Hashem. Ma'yi Rotzen Hashem b'mikra musuyam. Avshem mikra zu nadir admoid. This situation is ma'od unusual. V'nei, al pi halacha, im yitzu ha-matzav shekedai la-arich eschai shel ois odom ha-nimtza b'matzav tzemach, yitzricho kol klal Yisrael l'chalo Shabbos. What will be? You're a day late. Yeah, I'm just in a bad mood, so just don't take it personally. You're the last person I'm picking on today for the really quick time. What would be if in order to keep this tzemach alive for one more minute, every Jew would have to be Mechalel Shabbos? Yeah, there's a Kol Koyre goes out on Erev Shabbos. Yeah, Reb Chaim Kanievsky puts out a message that everybody has to be Mechalel Shabbos this Shabbos, because that's the only thing that's going to keep some vegetable in Sharet Tzedek alive for an extra minute. So would you Mechalel Shabbos? You have to Mechalel Shabbos, whatever the full Shabbos would mean. Yeah? If every Jew from Avraham Avinu and from Mashiach would have to Mechalel Shabbos to keep somebody alive for 1 minute. That's the law, the foolish. You say to me, "Im yovo goyim, yachricha oisanu v'yoyim re'im tevilanu nefesh achas michem, lariga mutov." If the goyim come and they say to us, "Give us one Jew to kill, and good. Vim lav nomises kulcham. We wipe out all of Klal Yisrael, chas v'chalila. Wipe out all of Klal Yisrael, right? The Chinese come and they say, give us one Jew to kill, otherwise we're going to kill all the Jews, yeah? So what's the halacha? Halacha she rotzen Hashem she nizgal alanu b'tor rosoi. The halacha mefurish, which is brought down in the Gemara, moire lanu she imusu kulam v'lo yumsaru. Af Yehudi, everyone dies, you don't give over, one Jew. I've got a good deal for the Chinese. You take this 100-year-old tzemach who's going to die in 15 minutes anyway, because Eliyahu Navi told you, and give him them. And you save the whole of Klal Yisrael. 15 million yidden you just saved with one person who's going to die in 15 minutes anyway, and he's a tzemach, he's not doing anything now. No, the loch is you're not allowed to do that. He's not doing any mitzvahs. The Yosef Mikach. Afilo yoytsu shagoyim yoykhnu lahamis es kol klal Yisrael mi yudia rishon va'ad yudia achron yimusu kulam va'olmesu lagoyim nefesh achaz Yisrael. Even if they wipe out all the Jews that ever were and ever will be, but you don't hand over one yid. If they ask for a specific yid, the halach is you can hand him over, whatever, that's all discussion. Noyre v'nis gavumi yochalen, who understands this? We can't understand this. If you understand that, that's very nice, but I don't understand it. We have no way of grasping this. It's impossible to understand. The Kodesh Baruch Hu Mukhan Levatel Kol Klal Yisrael. That means all the mitzvahs that that Klal Yisrael would do in the time that was allotted to them. That's a lot of Inu Nishmas. That's a lot of Scha Olam Haba. Ubevad Shechaya Yehudi Shu Ata Tzemach. Just so that one vegetable can carry on living for a few minutes? What does that give him? This life is obviously very important to Hashem if he's not doing anything, because he's prepared to give up the whole of Klal Yisrael for that. And all the Shabbosim that all the Jews keep, that's massive. Shabbos is massive. And yet Hashem's prepared to give that all up for one vegetable's life for a few minutes. So we don't have a way of understanding this. So I think we've learned this Bir Halacha many times. I'll just tell it to you over quickly. Chofetz Chaim bring down in the Bir Halacha, in Or HaChaim Siman Shin Chaf Tes, if you want to go have a look there, he speaks it out by Variches, but the bottom line of that story is like this, is you find an abandoned baby, we haven't got a lot of time, so I'll just tell it to you quickly, we'll go over again tomorrow. Tomorrow there's a breakfast shiur, so we'll do it on Thursday. You find an abandoned baby in New York there, in one of the railway stations, where you have Roiv Goyim. So the Lachic status of this child is a Goy. You look after the Roiv. He's a Sophic Jew, Sophic Goy. We don't know what he is. But he's in Roiv Goyim, so we go after Roiv. He's a Goy. He grows up, and you know, you bring him up, you take him home, you bring him up. He lives in the neighborhood. He becomes the local Flatbush Shabbos Goy. And he grows up a nice guy, whatever. Yeah, but he's a Goy. They don't negate him, he stays a Goy. One Shabbos, they come to you and they tell you that they think this guy was in a building and the building's collapsed. So do we machal Shabbos in order to save his life? No, because he's a Goy. No, he's not. Because we don't go after the Roiv when it comes to Sophic Nefoshes. When it comes to Sophic Nefoshes, we choish it for the mute. We're concerned about the minority. And therefore, you have to be Michal Shabbos in order to save his life. Yeah, even though it's a triple Sophic. He's a Sophic Jew, Sophic Goy. We're not even sure if he's in there. And if he's in there, he could be dead already. But every Jew has to be Michal Shabbos in order to try and save his life. And once you've saved his life, points out the Chofetz Chaim, he's never going to do mitzvahs. You're not saving his life now, so he'll do lots of Shabbos. Because he's not going to keep Shabbos. It's also for him to keep Shabbos. The minute he comes out of the Sekhon and the Foshah situation, he goes back to being a Goy. Because now we're not Choshet for the Mir, we go after the Roy. No, we don't. No, there's two stories. First of all, you found him 20 years ago. You found this abandoned baby in a railway station. Lying there wrapped up in a blanket next to the Pach. Now you don't know who he is. So bring him up, you bring him up. Now, 20 years later, he's a 20-year-old, whatever, and on Shabbos, they call you and they say that that boy that lives in your backyard, whatever, you know, in the servants' quarters there, he we think it was him that went into a building and the building collapsed.
So why does he have to go up your house? Is he going to be any guy?
No, because then he's a goy. This guy is a Sophic Jew. Because when you find a baby in the in abandoned baby, he could be Jewish. It could be a Jewish mother abandoned her baby. You don't know. Sorry? Okay, I don't mind how the Sophic arose. If you have a person here, we don't know if he's Jewish or not. Is he a goy or a Jew? Oh, do we have a sophic about you? No, your mother was Jewish or Jewish. I don't have a sophic about you, you're a Jew. And the Schwarzer down the road there, whatever, I don't have a sophic about him, he's for sure a goy. I'm thinking about somebody who's a sophic goy, sophic Jew. We don't know what he is. He fell out of the sky and we don't know who his mother was. So now we have a Shalia, he's a sophic Jew, sophic goy. What's the halacha? Halacha is you go after the roiv. If it was in the Jerusalem Tachana Merkazit, we would go after the roiv and say he's a Jew. And we treat him as a yid. In New York, in the Tachana Merkazit, he's roiv goy, there we treat him as a goy. But there's always a sophic. The sophic doesn't go away.
Any building that collapses.
We're not in a building now. We free the building. First you have to have a sophic goy for the building to fall on.
Any person you walk past in the street, it could be a Jew, it just doesn't matter.
But once again, if you have a sophic Jew, sophic goy, Beseder. Whoever's, you're not a sophic, you're a vada.
Right. But the fellow walking around, just as much as the baby was.
No, he's a goy. But there's no sophic by him. Why did the Chofetz Chaim use this example? Because this example illustrates to you very clearly that you have somebody who's a sophic goy, sophic Jew. Not every goy walking in the street is a sophic. I'm learning a Mishnah. I'm learning a Bir Halacha. Why do I have to change the Bir Halacha? The Bir Halacha works fine. Or I have to come make. But we'll, could be. No, the Bir Halacha is clear. You have somebody who's a Sofik Yid, Sofik Goy, yeah? That's his status. He's a Cheska Sofik. The guy walking down the street, yeah, he's not a Sofik. He is a Cheska Goy. He's not a Chor. This guy's a Cheska Sofik. So for every purpose, he's a goy, except when it comes to sophic nefoshes. Then he goes back to being a yid. Why are you saving his life? Why are you machal Shabbos to save the person's life? It's not for the mitzvahs. That's what we're trying to prove here. That's the example. You know why I brought this example? Because you came late. No, because you came late. So I'll explain to you why I brought the example. And those of you that learn by Rav Wolitzki, please go to Rav Wolitzki before I get shot. The reason why we brought this example is we're trying to show that Hashem doesn't care about the mitzvahs as much as the life. So we save this goy who may be Jewish's life, not because of the mitzvahs he's going to do, because once you save his life, he's not going to do any mitzvahs. That's why you need to cook up this story. That's the only thing you need to get. If you want to add anything now with pleasure, I'll keep quiet. The Rabbanim, not the Raisa, and that's only because of Darkei Sholem. And if there's no one there to see, and there won't be a Shalom Darkei Sholem, you're not allowed to save him. You're not even allowed to save a dog on Shabbos to be Bechal Shabbos. I had to deal with that Shalom once. I was on Tanei Shator, and one of the new Bochrim came in, one of the new Talmidim and whatever, and the one thing he couldn't get past, you know, everyone's got his block, was that his dog gets hit by a car on Shabbos, and he can't save his dog's life. So for him, we had a hard time dealing with that. He's going to next door neighbor, he wasn't bothered. If he gets hit by a car, that's fine. You let him die. But the dog, he couldn't deal with. That was too much for him. Everyone's got his problem. You better go to Willis if you need to share the force. Are you still drinking coffee? No.
No.
No. I don't know anyone in your share. All right, we'll carry on tomorrow. It's a shame. Okay.
By the Goyim say, give us the Jew. Is it true that even if we have no guarantee that we give them the Jew, they won't turn around a minute later and do the same thing?
You're not allowed to do that. What they'll do afterwards is your business.
What I'm saying is, in Yitzur, they would ask for the specific Jew, and if we give it to them, and we say to everyone else, they could turn around and say, give us another Jew a minute later. And yet we still seem to say, I'm just trying to say
this. I don't know.
Because we're showing that even the life of Jews is so precious that we have no guarantee that they won't do the same.